This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Dig on this, chew on this, cats. I come into the new year with the thought we're going to, on purpose, streamline the opening. We were just going to go right from that tape, right to the thing where they sing our names, and right to the song.
You always, after our little holiday break, like to make a little adjustment here.
Like to make it
you like to tweak?
Make it tighter than a nun.
Right.
However, today...
Under the category of it's always something. And I see they've played with the audio chain.
It sounds different.
Yes. Yeah, they've done it. Boy, we go away for this period of time. They got their hands in it.
Boy, sure, boy.
They got their hands in it.
Anyway, Happy New Year.
Hi, we're here. And
we're here.
This is the new streamlined opening.
The Don and Mike Show.
And this is where we play the thing saying, call now. Except we found out that... After 3 long weeks away,
they were in here getting everything polished and ready to go for 2008.
They were cleaning all the dust. They were changing all the light bulbs, putting new batteries in.
Fixing the place up.
Sure.
They said, oh, you guys need the phones, right? We don't have telephones.
We're going to have a little problem getting you your telephones because, what is it, a power supply that powers our phones? You know, I always thought, call me an idiot. Please,
idiot.
Feel free to. I always thought the phone
was
like
a faggot.
You know, when you pick up the phone in your house,
yes.
Don't you have phone service when the power's out?
Yeah, usually,
I always did growing up.
Sure,
I believe so.
But they said our power supply for the phones is gone.
Anywho, disregard this announcement.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365.
Just kind of takes the winds out of your sail.
I mean, as I look over here to the phone bank that's normally to my right, I see that it's just black.
Yeah. Rob hates it. It's all black.
It's all black.
Just black.
It's all black.
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don's and Mike Show.
Don, that phone bank is black as pitch.
No, you know what? I do have a little green light, and it's got little pieces of pepper on it that are just sort of floating.
Black as a thousand midnights, but yet we're here starting the year 2008.
Yeah.
With one leg cut off, and that's a good thing.
Howdy, everybody. This is it. This is the Don and Mike Show. This is what you've heard.
Happy New Year.
So much about.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Ready.
You know what you are? A hoot. With a capital H, that's what you are.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, you could call us, except we don't have phones.
Right.
Which, you know, on the first day back, could end up being a good thing anyway.
They audited the computers, which I've never heard of before. I guess auditing means they went through and took everything off the computers they thought should be taken off.
Apparently.
All I know is that every time I try to go to boylovingboy.com, it keeps saying I need a special CBS ID to get there.
Blue Boy this month has been removed. Blueboy.net.
And they want us to do a show.
You have to be in corporate to get to that website.
Now, listen.
Oh, good Lord.
The telephones, and I know some of you out there having a good laugh about this. We can certainly deal with the fact that we have no telephones today. But the fact that we have no internet porn, as dictated by CBS, what they did, they went through over the break, and they just washed everything out of the computer.
I mean, imagine my frustration before the show when I was going to play the video of Matthew Broderick yelling at the paparazzi, and I was unable to get there because I did not have, how did they put it? I did not have corporate authorization to download the media player that would allow me. I mean, it was swept off the computer. I had on my favorites list, which had about 30 gay internet sites, it's down to nothing. There's nothing there anymore.
It was an audit, is what they did.
An audit means, usually I think of it in tax purposes.
Well, I believe in this regard, they went to every computer, and they saw everywhere that you went, and they saw all of your B.O.B. pictures.
Jeez, we're done. Yeah. When are the feds going to get
Where's
here?
Where's the inspiration?
I mean, when are they going to kick the door in and put the cuffs on us? Because, I mean, with what we've surfed in this building,
oh my God.
I mean, my God.
And all of it under the guise of
doing a show.
Doing a show.
That's the funny part.
That's where we're going to be like Roger Clemens.
Research.
That's where Don and I will be on 60 Minutes.
So unbelievable.
It was all show prep.
But Mike, I know that every, meaning Mike Wallace, I know that every single computer that we touched had boy-on-boy action, but I'm telling you, Mike was injecting me with B12 shots, and I him while Buzz was watching something.
And lidocaine, because, you know, whenever your right shoulder is hurting, you really want your ass to be numb. It's very, very important.
Listen, as a former gold medal winner in lying, can I just say, I watched that man last paid that man his money.
Yes.
I watched Roger Clemens last night.
Roger the Dodger.
Within 15 seconds. Said, guilty as charged, son.
He had a look about him. Hey, we're not profilers that work for the FBI, but you can look at the guy and just know that he's sitting there. He's got kind of that shifty-eyed demeanor. Looked like he had a little of the flop sweat happening.
And as soon as he threw in, fixin', I'm fixin'. Now, here's where you use fixin'. If you're in a fast food restaurant and they have a fixin's bar, but you don't use it in the way he did. I'm fixin'. To get into my big Chevy truck and go cut down some trees, and all of a sudden, somebody says to me, steroids?
Steroids! You look at the picture.
He said, if I was on steroids, I would be pulling trucks with my teeth.
And I'd have an ear growing out of my forehead. And you look at him, and if you were on one of the many used car lots in the United States, as I look at this picture on the cover of the New York Daily News right here, I'm saying to myself, would you purchase the automobile from that guy with that look on his face? And I'm thinking, not right away.
Yeah.
But hey, innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
He came on at first and almost won me over with the whole, you know, I'm pissed. There's nothing I can do about this. I'll never get my good name back again. And then when Mike Wallace asked him about the lie detector.
That's where he started to break up. When they teased that, God love 60 Minutes. You know, Mike Wallace, supposedly a friend of Roger Clemens. You know, he's been profiled by him a couple of times. But they teased with the lie detector. And the editing on there was 60 Minutes. Really coming out before the piece aired and saying, well, this is how we think it went. This is him looking shifty when we asked him about the lie detector.
Right? And how about him at the very end? Like he's going to break all of our collective hearts. Nope, I'm done. I'm never pitching again.
Oh, give me a break. Honest to God.
Oh, please, Roger.
And then please come back to us because we want to pay you more money.
And then the voiceover.
P.S. Roger has retired 4 times already.
Oh, no, this time I'm fixing to get my big Paul Bunyan Blue Ox van and drive me to the West 40 where I'm going to be putting down some barbed wire with my teeth. Now I'm not on steroids.
It's very, very sad that I believed both the hitman from Boston and President Musharraf of Pakistan, who had every reason to murder his arch political rival before I believed Roger Clemens. That was 60, pretty darn good 60 Minutes.
How about that cat as well? Well, it was her fault.
Yeah.
Why was it her fault? Well, she stood up in the
stood up out of the car.
She stood up in the sunroof. I mean, what kind of an idiot stands up in a sunroof in Pakistan?
And her fault is too American. He had to put it in that Pakistani. It is ultimately her responsibility. Ultimately, her responsibility.
And I know that it's a corporate publication, et cetera, et cetera. But were you like me and just, I didn't even call you about this, Robbie.
What's that?
When we got the Sunday paper on Saturday when you get the comics and everything, that just waste of space, Parade magazine. She's on the cover.
That's right.
And they're doing a giant article.
Buto.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, this is like a tribute.
No.
Once again, in the style of Parade magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they did the same thing with Barbaro.
That's right.
Not to equate this fine woman to the horse, but they didn't. I guess there was a deadline between the time that she was assassinated,
the holidays,
and the time this got over. Yeah, the deadline, so to speak, and the time that it got in the newspaper. But my God, that's like 5 or 6 working days.
Yeah, they had plenty of time, I would think.
And it's her face on the cover, and you read it, and she's like, "I'm the hope for tomorrow, and I will stand no matter what the terrorists do."
You know, I don't even grab the Parade. I read the Target circular before.
Don't you
I read
have
parade.
To take a nice BM?
Yeah, but I usually go to the other stuff.
What about
in there?
Howard Hughes? He's a funny dog. Don, if a Sunday goes by that Howard Hughes is not getting into some kind of trouble, I don't know what to say.
So
and
they,
Walter
they
Scott's
actually,
personality parade.
So they have, oh, Walter, he's the old guy. Is it, yeah. Isn't there a guy named Brady there that does James Brady?
James Brady. He has the back page. The front page is when people call about or write about showbiz.
No, it's very sad.
Anyway, so all that was just last night. Mm-hmm. Just that stuff was just last night just on television.
Oh, and American Gladiators, which they screwed up, which they ruined.
How?
Wrecked it.
How do you ruin American Gladiators?
They wrecked it because they didn't have the fancy editing the first time 10 years ago, 14 years ago when it was on. They didn't have the fancy editing. You saw the athletic competition. You didn't see the edited version of the athletic competition. If the guy was going to, you know, did you see all the weird edits where the guy would be nipping at his heels and then one shot later he's 10 miles in back of him? They messed it up.
I hate to disappoint you. I know that seems it should be right up my alley, but I don't know. I turned my nose another way.
You didn't miss anything.
Good.
It's a collective bore fest because they screwed it up. They had something going, except I did like my favorite gladiator, Wolf. Who every time they go to him goes, oh! You know how I like Tugboat.
They gave them all jive names again, like Nitro and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've got Wolf and Mayhem and Fury and my favorite. You would have loved this, Rob. I certainly hope you got a chance to see Helga, who we determined in the second hour of American Gladiators, Helga was not used as much.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
And we concluded Helga, perhaps not the best in shape gladiator.
Did she have pigtails?
She had pigtails.
Did she really?
She had St. Pauli girl pigtails.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I would have pulled for her.
And then they only used her in the gauntlet when they've got to keep the other person, the challenger, from getting down. And they have three gladiators in front of her. And then Helga at the end. And Helga just as big and fat. She's not really like a muscle woman like some of the other women.
Do you still have Hulkamania?
No, they don't have Hulkamania.
You don't?
No.
Hey, you, brother. Though.
Oh, no, I don't either.
Okay. Hey, brother.
Yeah, brother.
Hey, brother.
And he sucks.
Hey, brother.
It's just, I don't know. I seem to remember really enjoying American Gladiators. And about 10 minutes into the second hour, I no longer cared.
Here's the thing. I remember the first time it was on. And I think we all look at that show very fondly. And I think we all romanticize what the original show was.
We did. We thought it was better than it was.
Yeah. Because when Janet was saying to me last night, why are you walking out of the room? When they were like jousting and going in the pool, I said, it's the same crap as when they got in those big, gigantic plastic wheels and would roll around on the floor.
They
right?
have to up the ante. And I know this is sad to say, but as we participate, all of us culturally, in the decline and fall of the American empire, we really need to up the ante. What America is clamoring for is more things on the line. More pain, more blood.
That's what
we're looking for.
The name of the game is Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
I think we've all seen the movie, and I'm not just talking about the porno, Glad He Ate Her. I'm talking about the Russell Crowe flick.
Now, of course, not all the way. You don't want to go to the Roman Empire right away. You can't, Rob, because you got to do it by degree.
Maybe at the end?
But no more. We don't have the Nerf stuff anymore.
Yeah.
No more padding. You don't need the padding. What you need are bats. Baseball bats.
2x4 with a nail in it?
Not necessarily a nail, but you can draw blood.
I think we could have gone back 20 years ago when Mike Adamley was the host of that show, and we would come in and riff on that show, and after like 5 or 6 episodes, we said roughly the same thing. It's a good show, but it'd be nice if they had some type of weapon to use against the other gladiators.
Real weaponry. Right. Or say, how about this? There's a lot of water, a lot of knocking people off, having them fall into the water. How about you have some critters in the water? We're fixing to put some critters in the water.
Gators.
I think that might be a
we'll call the Clemens Gator Farm.
Piranha.
Or I mean, something, an electric eel, something that's really not going to completely kill you or take a leg off, but something that could hurt you badly.
A schnapping turtle?
No, a schnapping turtle, Trebek.
Something like that on Fear Factor? Didn't they?
They might have had gators or something like that.
Couldn't you simply put like maggots in the pool?
You could put some sort of disease in the pool.
That'd be nice.
Just have something, or maybe like a low grade acid where it would burn you just on the first degree burn,
like Tylex.
Yeah, Tylex.
A pool full of Tylex,
and you've got a sponsor.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah, I just think it lost me. I did stay through the whole thing, but I will not go. That was was that something lunch like, or was that I couldn't tell what sound that was. It was off mic.
That was a leftover whatever Buzz has.
I see.
Oh, okay.
You too.
Not for lunch, but whatever. whatever it is that everybody had over the holidays,
right.
It seems.
How many people in this room got sick over the holidays?
We all did. I think we all did.
Not me, but I went to the doctor.
Did you get a cold too?
I had a cold. I can't wait to tell you about my gland that I had to have drained.
Your mighty gland?
My mighty, mighty gland.
I got a cold after Christmas. As soon as I arrived in the warm weather to enjoy myself, that's when, bam, it hit me. You know, being on, because the plane that I was on was tubercular, so it was. And now, Buzz, you sound like you're.
I made my plane tubercular.
Oh, really?
I was the contributor in that case.
So how many days are you into your thing?
This is day five, and this is the best I've felt in 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Well, sounds
really
good.
Got whacked. Wow.
This is like that herpes commercial. I'm on day 17. Day five, yeah. I'm not kidding. 17 days. I feel better today.
Uh-huh. Good.
I feel better over the weekend.
You're just feeling better now, too?
About 2 weeks. For a week, I really felt like just total dog crap.
Right? Oh, I'm 3 or 4 days. I'm probably better than both of you guys.
I wonder if Joe got sick.
Who cares?
Seriously.
And we know you got sick. You got sick down there.
I went to the doctor, but I didn't get sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got his whole vasectomy thing.
Of course.
Plus, I know he's got a hell of a story for New Year's Eve.
Wow.
My good buddy Rob. Let's just start the show. What do you say?
Yeah.
Ah, fooled you.
No phones.
What makes you happy?
God and you. Yeah. The spirit that you put in you make me happy. I'm a happy person. I'm full happy.
Thank you for the call. That was a 108-year-old lady calling the show.
Oh, God bless her.
Nice. The Don and Mike Show. Let's take another one, shall we?
Yeah. Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
I swear to God, you look like one of the handsomest guys I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That's a caller who's still on vacation.
Right. Hey, Don and Mike Show.
That is so true, Dick.
Well, obviously, phones are busted. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're here, and hi, and thanks for listening. First show of 2008. Let's ring it in the way America rung it in.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be back for another New Year's in New York.
I want to surprise you.
All right.
And I wish that we had the power to use the telephone, because I made a call to Rob just after midnight on New Year's Eve to comment on Mr. D. Clark.
Yes.
Yes.
And not on the speech.
No.
No. The Tiefers.
Bingo.
Yeah. Right?
That's all we were talking about.
Thank you.
All we were. What is the
Thank
deal?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Would you like to know the family, the O'Mara partially family consensus?
I believe it's got something. Well, go ahead, Mike. You go ahead. If you guys had theory.
They took his caps off.
I agree.
Because they were affecting his speech. Yeah, they figured he could speak better with.
Can you imagine with the caps on?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, there are about 1 million people in the Times Square, billions more looking all over the world.
That was the consensus where I was as well.
That they took his caps off?
I saw darkness and also almost a rabbit-like look.
Well, no, what it was probably where they had the caps before, they shaved down the teeth, so there are more gaps.
His teeth were yellow and diseased like toenail fungus.
Yeah.
I was watching at my girlfriend's brother's house. Got a nice, big, beautiful, like everybody's, like a 60-inch plasma, high def.
And we all watch Dick Clark.
And all I'm doing is standing in front of this TV on New Year's Eve, pointing out to everyone. I'm standing. The thing is muted at this point because people are kissing and they're still doing the whole Happy New Year. And I'm like,
you're focused on Dick.
Like, look at these teeth.
And tonight at midnight, they're going to see a brand new ball come down. It's going to be great.
And I only wish that we could play the message that I left for Rob, which I think was just something along those lines, just like,
he said, buddy, sorry I missed you. Happy New Year. What's with Dick Clark's teeth?
Is he going to, I mean, is this going to be happening until he's underground?
I think so.
I guess so.
I mean, what has to happen? If this is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not walking anymore. They just have him at the desk.
Is he like keeping office hours in California?
Yes.
Is he one of those guys that can understand things? He just can't express himself very well.
He's absolutely lucid.
He's completely with it.
He's in a lot of negotiations with Dan Snyder. Right? Are they really business partners?
Dan Snyder bought all the bandstand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see clips of Frankie Lymon the next time you go to Wild World.
Very exciting.
Anyway, it's teeth.
Dick, how does it look from your vantage point?
It's amazing. See, it really, really is. You can see people.
I mean, the speech
thing. This is making me mad now.
I think the speech thing we covered ad nauseum last year.
Last year, and it's the novelty is worn off. Everybody did feel the same thing, though, that anybody that's even remotely aware of media in any way, are they going to wheel him out again? And, of course, once you said, hey, join Dick Clark, it's like, well, let's see. Maybe he's made some progress.
No, he
hasn't.
No dental progress this year.
No, they did
hands, hugging, kissing, singing. You can feel all the goodwill and spirit out of it. They came to party, and they weren't disappointed. I think everybody ought to write it.
What?
Once in your life. Never, ever forget it.
Remember, brush and floss, kids.
Yeah. You see him kiss the widow, Clark?
But wait a minute. Wait, a much better job on the countdown this year.
Yes.
I am going to give Dick Clark credit.
I agree.
He did not screw the countdown up. They prepped him. They must have had big numbers.
I bet he had a lot of cue cards in front of him.
You know, there's no reason that whole thing couldn't have been pre-taped or from last year.
What do you mean? It'd be like, what's the movie with Robert De Niro where they fake the moon landing?
Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog. It's just like Wag the Dog. They did a completely
staged. He says the same thing every year. He says it's exciting that all the trash will be cleaned up by 6.
I miss all the people that would call a nitpick. I believe the movie where they faked a moon landing was Capricorn 13 or something like that.
Capricorn 1.
With O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
Wag the Dog is where they had a fake war.
Fake war. A fake war is what it was.
Right. A fake war against tooth decay.
But immediately. I mean, and I was on a much less quality television set at my sister's house.
Like blind people could see those.
This thing was just, it was, immediately and something is very wrong. But not every, I'm sure we're very similar because not everybody immediately picked up or cared as much as we did about the teeth.
That's why I had to take over the room.
Yeah, it's your job.
Yes. And it was at that point, I'll get to this, all of my anxiety about meeting Janet's family and everything. And it just ended in a wonderful explosion of love and
when I took
over the room I really got on a roll with the TV that we were playing whatever game it is people play on New Year's Eve, Cranium, which I refused to play just on general principle,
right?
And then Apples to Oranges, which I played and then gave risque answers, and the whole time the TV is muted,
right?
And they're doing the reports from downtown Pittsburgh. And everybody's playing the game like, okay, if you could be any color of carpeting, what will you be? And I start going, hi there, I'm this guy on TV. Hey, guess what? I've got a penis in my pants. And as soon as I start with this, I get a couple of people that work their way over, and all of a sudden, no one really wants to play Apples or Oranges. They all want to play the game. Let's talk like the people on TV. So by the time midnight came, I was able really to stand up in front of a room of pretty much strangers I just met 5 hours earlier.
Right.
And seriously, like I'm working with a telestrator, go in front of the TV, look at the teeth, right? And I'm saying to
the teeth.
I'm saying to Janet's brother, Dan, I'm ordering this guy around in his own family. Dan, freeze it. Right there, freeze it. So he freezes it.
He's got the remote control?
Yeah, he's from the back of the room. And I'm standing up there and I go, look at these. Right here. And I circle the teeth. And
don't you think
they love it? The crowd loves it. They go wild.
Don't the powers that be owe us an explanation just to let us know what the deal was
with his teeth?
In this age of media scrutiny.
Mike, that is the answer. It came up in your household.
Right.
It came up in Jan's household as
well.
It
took off his dental work.
And I think the reason is that there are people who are of a certain age, who have had that done and know what it looks like underneath the white things that they throw on there.
Buzz will keep his caps on till he dies.
That's right.
Well, I don't think it's an age thing. I think it had to do with his medical condition.
Breathing?
Like maybe he had a moment where they had to get the dental work out of the way.
True. Maybe they were scared he'd swallow a cap.
Maybe he did swallow a cap.
All of the caps.
Put a cap in your ass.
That's right.
Cap in your ass. I didn't pay as close attention as you did on New Year's Eve, Don, because I was too busy dealing with preventing my sister and myself from getting arrested.
Wow.
Well, that's a good one, Mike. That's a good start.
Strong.
Crystal meth?
No, a much more innocent activity that I would not think would result in any problems with law enforcement.
What's more innocent than
especially
crystal
on
meth?
A huge beach, on a huge, long beach where you would think you would have no problems whatsoever.
Yeah.
Was you playing with fireworks?
more than I ever have before.
Yeah, you're a bad kid.
Oh, yeah.
I read the sign, too.
You're a bad kid, O'Mara.
They Xeroxed my driver's license.
Oh, that's serious.
Well, hey, wait, now hold on.
Which side?
Permanent you, record.
Both sides. You
the,
walk
the one
in.
That says McLovin on it?
They didn't know that I was giving them a, you know, a super soaker, you know, membership card.
My name is Hugh. Hugh G. Erection.
They have these big signs. That, now, look, on New Year's Eve, when I happen to go by, on my way to my sister's house, the fireworks warehouse, they should not have those stores in states where it's illegal. Because Mike, you can't tell me that the 200 people, mainly from
Mike O'Mara,
out of this country that were there.
Out-of-towners?
Without the police involved.
Out-of-countryers.
Out of without the police getting involved, I feel like I'm listening to myself through a tape recorder. For in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania,
yes,
they have something called the Firework Factory.
Yes.
Which I also discovered was open at 12 noon on New Year's Eve.
Yay.
And I swear to Christ, was as big as an office depot.
It's massive.
Yeah, that's the word I used.
And there was one, you know, we around here, we occasionally get the little roadside stands.
Right.
This was an interior warehouse that had them, and I didn't know. All I said to the guy is, I said, I want your biggest and most powerful. And he pointed me over to the rocket section.
Sure.
And
so real stuff that shoots up and blows up.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
We were
yeah,
told.
Yeah, wow, I got ripped off there, too.
We were told to stop it at 4 a.m.
You were invited to stop or told
you were
to
told
stop?
Much later than I was.
We were invited by the people in the house
that were
trying to sleep.
So. All I know is that when the flashlight came up the beach and I saw that what I thought were people that were looking for shells late at night, because there are a lot of people that do that down there.
That's right. Good.
That's a nice activity on New Year's Eve. Go home. Drink. You know. No, really, looking for shells. It's like, get your, you know. So I said, hey, turn that off, please. And I didn't realize that on the other end of it was a female police officer.
Uh-oh.
You should have said, honey.
Honey?
God damn it, honey.
Let me tell you something, honey. I'm just sitting, and I guess it was at that point that I did my best Roger Clemens impersonation.
Oh, told some stories. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I was not the culprit. I was not the person that could have been killed.
It was your sister?
And my girlfriend.
Were you shooting them at them?
They, all right, we were not brave. We sent out four hunting parties for fireworks, all right, at different times. And then they were so strict about this that you would shoot off a volley and then you'd have to run them back at the little condo complex. And the girls who were a little tipsy were running upstairs on the second level.
So you were playing
and
like
hiding in the stairwell, but you could hear them in the entire condo.
You know what you are? A hoot. With a capital H, that's what you are.
So right. You're playing like Elvis firework games.
Well, yeah, and the only time that we got caught was when yours truly came out. And
shirtless.
I was just pissed. Yeah. I was really, really angry because I fell in a... Somebody, you know how people dig holes for sandcastles?
Yeah.
Some person had dug to China. And it was pitch black at night.
How dare they?
This is a very long story.
The Chinese love fireworks.
I'm all over the place.
We should break.
This.
We got a break. Boy, yeah,
it involved a sprained ankle for me.
Wow.
Law enforcement and who was shooting who? I believe my sister almost killing my girlfriend.
Wow.
Inadvertently.
I got nothing like that.
So she says.
No, but this is all around the same main thing.
We just stopped and bought some, and fireworks, that is, and shot them off, and they were spectacular.
Now, were you there every time you shot them off? Were you supervising?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't supervised. I was watching.
You were watching? Well, the moral of this story, don't let the women folk handle the fireworks.
Huh.
Yeah. Because that's when, you know.
Haven't you known that all along?
I should have known that. I should have, you know. Hey, it's a real easy thing. You aim them out at the ocean. You're on the beach. You aim them on the ocean.
Right.
You don't aim them back at the, you know. At the drought-stricken tree line.
No.
You light fuse, mm-hmm. You get away. That's a two-part plan.
They did that, but unfortunately the fireworks were pointed at the condo complex.
Nah, I'm sure it's fine.
Causing certain neighbors to get all a-quiver.
How about that?
I'm surprised the young fun lovers down in Florida didn't go for it.
Now, here's the deal. These people, I guess, were a little uptight about somebody burning down their condo. You know, lighten up.
What's with that?
It's a holiday.
Holiday.
It's a holiday. Condé, you want to come down with a little rum and tonic? I got a little Myers and tonic down here. It's a holiday, Mr. Man.
I had nothing like that.
Chill out.
Oh. I just remember screaming at someone, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Someone said, come inside. I'm rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Boom.
Nah, he's only two brushes with law enforcement on my whole vacation.
Just
one,
two.
One with a regular cop and the other with the Secret Service.
I've
But other than that, nothing happened.
Secret Service.
You. Now, did you really have a run-in with Secret Service?
A run-in? Not a run-in, no. But, I mean, they were encounter. They were all over the plane that I was on coming back home.
Oh, why? Was there a... like?
Because I was coming back.
That's right.
Because I was coming back on the plane. National Treasure Mike O'Mara is on the plane.
Right.
Get the security there.
Which one of the guys... Was it a presidential guy that was on your plane? Who was it?
No. It was a guy. It was a muckety-muck. It was a guy.
Some guy.
Yeah. He's a guy. He's a big, famous guy. I just don't remember his name.
Okay, thanks.
He's been somebody. And he is somebody.
Bin Laden?
Huh?
Bin Laden?
No, I know he's been an ambassador.
Okay.
And he's been...
He said Bin, B-E-E-N, not B-I-N.
I'm sorry.
We're not playing the Bin game right now.
He has a big Roman nose. He looked like a Roman emperor. Hmm. He was bald, and he was wearing a big hat. But seriously, I have to say it that way because I knew that this guy was...
Do you have any
idea
the public person might be talking about?
Not an idea at all.
Was it a former elected official?
No. He was a former... He is still a muckety-muck.
Ambassador.
No, he's not an ambassador. He's now...
Is he a senator?
No. He was the director of intelligence.
Oh, so a smart guy.
He was the director of intelligence. I wish we had phones. I'd remember his name better. But I didn't, and that's the way, I was this way on the plane because Carla recognized the Secret Service because they walked over to this guy. Then you see the little spaghetti behind the guy's ear,
right.
And so you go, "Hey, it really is." And then I see, you know, there's one talking to him. Then there are two over by the gate, and then there's another one over by where you walk into the gate. So I counted like three on a plane, and I said, "You know, this must be." And then I looked at the guy, and said, "Oh, he's that guy." But it was like recognizing a soap opera star, where you look at him, you go, "Yeah, he's somebody. I've seen him. You
know,
I've seen him.
It's Dewey Cox."
Dewey Cox.
Who is that guy?
But then by the time the flight was over, I'd gotten on. You know, the wireless technology is so amazing because I popped a name in there,
yeah.
And it was the guy that I thought it was.
Who is it?
John Negroponte.
Oh, okay. Recognize the name.
Who the frig is that?
That's what I said. But I mean, he's somebody, right?
Yes, he was.
Please.
Or is.
I think he is now the second in command of the State Department. And he's the former ambassador to Iraq.
Well, his fortune.
And he is the former director of intelligence for the United States, like the CIA, FBI.
His fortunes must have taken quite a tumble if he was on the same flight as you, my friend.
Here's what I said to Carla. Yeah. What I said to Carla was, I bet if he's like on a little vacation, he doesn't get to take the company ride. I bet if he's on a vacation, he's got to fly that way.
Sure.
Unless he's rich enough to have his own, you know, super deluxe private plane, because they watch that now. And then when we got to Washington,
yeah,
there were three more guys waiting for him, including two in uniform.
For Mr. Neapolitan or whoever he is?
Yes. They were there.
Yeah.
And then I get on the internet, Buzz, and I'm trying to find out what he did. And it's like he's had so many different jobs that I can't. Is he deputy secretary of the Secretary of State now? Secretary of State.
Still tracking. He had been the...
There he is, Mr. Scholarship winner.
The U.S. Thank Foreign you. Service. He's been ambassador to Honduras. This is what I've found so far.
Right.
This guy looks like a guy that would be selling hot dogs like at a vendor in New York City.
He looks like Fred Mertz.
He was very nice to his children.
He does look like Fred Mertz.
He was very, very nice to his children. That's what I noticed about him. He was very
like
nice
George
to his
Michael.
Kids.
The guy looks like George Michael before AIDS.
And, you know, because he was nice to his kids.
Before AIDS.
Oh, okay.
George Michael.
Deputy Secretary of State.
I mean, Channel 4 George Michael.
He's
not rock singer George
Michael.
He's
the Deputy Secretary of State.
How old are his kids?
So that's basically the Vice President of the Secretary of State.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. So Vice President of State.
Number two man.
Mm-hmm. But he was so nice to his kids that I am not going to accuse him of the... on the 15-minute mark farting that went on for the entire flight.
Wow.
And it was a small jet that we flew back on, one of those, they call them the regional jets now.
Yeah.
And I'm pouring this all out to you, I'm sorry, because I know I should have told you this before the show. But all this went on with the Secret Service, and there were, I believe, two or three Secret Service men on the plane. And I don't think any one of them was doing the farting, but somebody was letting... pot roast style farts out for the entire, every 15 minutes, our entire flight until we landed. On taxiing, they were still on the 15-minute mark. horrible, like Christmas, New Year's banquet farts.
It's Mr. 24 then, right?
I don't think it was him. He could have, though. He's a big man. He's part of the big man club.
Looks to me like he's no stranger to the exotic fart. Right?
Could have been him.
He's had a creeper before. Oh, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, Daddy. God, what is that, Daddy? Don't say anything. Say it's the Secret Service.
Well, see, it says right there, Don. Look. Look at that. 15th Deputy Secretary of State. So there haven't been many of them.
And you know, I said, BFD.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Just like the Domino's Pizza. I saw a commercial on TV.
Yes.
For Domino's Pizza. They're advertising it BFD. And I'm thinking to myself, they know what BFD means,
course
right?
They do. Sure.
Do you know how good I am at spotting the people that are not even celebrities?
Really good.
People like this. And Carla's good at it now, too, because she picked out the Secret Service before I did. And the thing about this, I think maybe we may have been one of 10 people on the plane that even knew this guy was surrounded by Secret Service.
Probably. Rob, yeah. Look at this. You take the last five letters off his name.
Oh, look at that.
His name is John Negro.
That's right.
That'd be a See, good... I knew you'd find something to like about it.
Now, that's a good disc jockey.
That's a good thing.
But what station to work in?
John Negro.
Surrounded by Secret Service.
That's a funny part of Dewey Cox, for those of you who are thinking about renting that. Yeah. It'll be out on video, I think, next week. We saw it. It was in the theaters just like that. Gone. First scene, when he gets his big break, Dewey Cox has to sing at a soul club. And the song that he's playing with a band like Otis Day and the Knights. And he's been watching the guy play night after night, so he knows the routine. Mm-hmm. He's a white guy in an all-black club, and the song that he sings is "You Got to Love Your Negro Man."
Wow. So are all the songs that are on the soundtrack like these new fake songs that he recorded?
Yeah, yeah. He's an outstanding singer, John C. Reilly.
Yeah, that was worth it on a scale of 1 to 10.
No, it wasn't. We got a break. Be right back, everybody. Don't call though.
You can't because the phones are broken.
Phones are broken. Hey. Who's your champions of the new year? That would be us. We're here.
Right.
We're here.
Yay.
Right?
Yeah.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.